All right. Hey, it's good to see everybody. Good morning. Pastor Andrew is not here. I talked to Pete Silva. He rerouted his prayer to me. As you are familiar with, we are not a perfect church, and I expect your grace and mercy for any misspoken word in the next half hour here. I am Pastor John. I have been here for a very long time. This is my second year at the church. Today, I will finish preaching through my second entire book of the Bible here. We'll be in another one chapter book of the Bible today. All right. Well, to help you get to know me a little bit, let me just share a story from my youth. I grew up in Harford County, Maryland. At the time of the story, I was about 9 years old. At that time in life, you're starting to understand your parents for who they are, kind of an understanding of who they are outside of the home, too. And you have a temperature gauge, sort of, for what's normal. You know what normal is. You know what your routines are in the home. One night at dinner, I could tell something was not normal. My dad began to tell us about a friend he had. I don't know if he was from school or from work, but he was a peer of my father's, and he was now homeless. My dad was telling us that this homeless person was going to come over to our house. We were going to practice hospitality and welcome him in, and I didn't know what to do about that. I'd never met a homeless person before, and we weren't hospitality people. Like, we didn't have people over a lot. My dad reassured us that we would be safe. And I kind of was digesting this. And then later on, the night when this person was supposed to come over, another strange thing happened. I saw my dad cleaning our upstairs bathroom, which is something I never saw before. This was out of the ordinary. And as I was thinking about the story, I take after my dad. And if my kids saw me cleaning the bathroom, they say, "What's going on?" I will work on that. And I had to just kind of wrestle with what it would be like to bring this person into our house, what was going to happen. And that's the whole fun part of the story. That's it. My dad's friend came over. He declined a warm shower and instead just had a nice meal with us. He was a person that was down on his luck. And I'll just always remember that, kind of that moment. It was one of those breadcrumbs the Lord gave me about how my parents did things just a little bit differently because they love the Lord. I hope that story helps us just a little bit to get into today, because we are going to talk about 3 John, about hospitality and leadership. I'll give you a second to find 3 John. This is one of those books where your table of contents might help. It's the third to last book of the Bible, and it's only one page of your Bible because it's so small. So I'll give you time to find 3 John. You might have a story like mine. Maybe it's an embarrassing story about when you had somebody over and something went wrong, or a story that happened as you were a guest somewhere else. But hospitality is important, and it's biblical. Our hope for today is to get through the whole book together, to study it, to learn it, and let God speak to us through it. So let's go to the Lord and ask for his help together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are here for you. We are here to learn from your word. We want to continue responding to the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ, allowing your words to shape and form us, Lord. Help us to understand just a little bit deeper what you have in mind when you tell us to welcome friends and to love one another, and how to be good leaders in the various aspects of life where we serve as leaders. God, we pray that your word, when it's preached, would create change, that it would settle into our hearts, that we would believe it and live it. And then beyond that, Lord, we know that there's some things that we can't change just by hearing. So we pray for the friends and the leaders and the shepherds in our lives to live out your gospel, helping us heal and grow. Bless your church, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, 3 John, like I said, let's just start by reading the whole text today. This is the book of 3 John. I'll be reading in the ESV, the English Standard Version. "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I've written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends each by name. All right, this week we have some slides with the verses so you can follow along, as well as headings that might help. If you like meeting people or learning or hearing about people, the sections of this book kind of go one person at a time, and that's kind of helped me think about it in my preparation. These four folks, Gaius, Diotrephes, Demetrius, and John, have sort of like become my buddies this week, so I look forward to introducing you to them. All right, 3 weeks ago, we preached through 2 John, and the time, it's about one generation after the church began. A lot of things are similar, but I want to just reinforce again that John is loving. That's probably his main characteristic. He's the one that recorded in John 3:16 that God loved us so much that he sent his son so that anyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And he's not a judging God. He came to save us, as Mike read earlier. John also wrote in 1 John 3:16 that we know what love is because we saw how Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. John is all about love. He's also joyful. What motivates and brings joy to John, this loving elder? It's knowing that his children are doing well spiritually. He cares about them. And he also cares about Gaius's physical health. That's interesting. He's like, I know things are going well with your soul. How are you doing physically? I'm jumping a time here, but how was that diagnosis? How was that appointment you had? Are you recovering from the surgery? This is a reminder to pray for one another, to get that prayer email or that prayer list that we get here at church, and to keep each other in mind and pray. And then if you think of someone and you're praying for them, in the same way John does here, find a way to communicate that we care for the people of our church. It means a lot. How does John's words in verses 3 and 4 in that second section sound to you? I have no greater joy than hearing that my children are walking in the truth. That doesn't sound like rules-based religion to me. I don't think it is. In the way that John lovingly talks about his Christian experience, he has found the way, this path of eternal, joyful, peaceful, walking with the Lord, having Jesus as a friend, and what gives him more joy is when more people are coming along with him. I think that's something that's difficult to catch in his letter, and that's why he doesn't want to use pen and ink. He wants to see us face to face. That's an experience that we can have too in this church. So John is loving and he's joyful. You know, I've seen, and just even in this church, in the time I've been here, a couple stories of people that God's really done a work in you fast. lives turning around and you're walking with the Lord in an exciting way. And that encourages me. That's proof to me that God is alive, that he's working, and that he's active in us. So let's keep on keeping on, staying faithful, and we'll continue to see what God does. All right, we're going to meet Gaius here in verses 5 through 8. Beloved, that's what he calls Gaius. Gaius is this beloved person. It is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, Jesus, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Gaius is loving and welcoming, helpful and generous also. Gaius is a guy like us. Pastor Andrew gave us that one. He'll give him credit for that. But it's true. Gaius is a good example of hospitality and leadership. And he supports these traveling teachers, and therefore he becomes a fellow worker with them. So what did he actually do? We talked about this a little bit with 2 John, that in this time of the church, there would be traveling teachers. You could call them missionaries. You could call them regional pastors that would go from house church to house church. These churches were not very large, teaching and sharing God's word. John encourages him to send them out in a manner worthy of God, which very practically just means send them with a little bit of food, with water, and with some money so that they can keep going on their journey, knowing that they will sometimes serve in places where they don't ask anything. So what made it so special that these teachers would receive this amount of hospitality? They're doing God's work. They're helping God's people to grow. And they aren't just helping the local church, but they are doing a work uniting the global church together as they share the same church across wide areas. John heard, and this is paraphrasing this letter so far, John heard about Gaius' hospitality, how he was taking care of people from those very people when they came back to John. And then John's going to talk later about someone else that's coming, this person named Demetrius. This is a lot of guest speakers. This is a lot of people coming in and out, a lot of people you're cooking for, and many of us, this might feel a little chaotic. And maybe it is. You know, today, 1900 some years later, the church is much more settled. We'll generally be in local churches that are solidified, consistent. We have our routines. We generally have one pastor that's preaching 40 plus times a year. A sad thing about the way the church has, where we've gotten ourselves, is we're very divided as well in the capital C church, divided with various beliefs, styles of worship. God is seeking to unite one church together. In this first century, there were Christians from Africa, the Middle East, Asia Minor, and in the West that experienced the power of God coming. And these people were getting to know each other and sharing the same experience, and it was combining and broadening people's view of the world. I'm reading in Acts right now, in Acts chapter 10, that's the first time Gentiles heard about the gospel and received the Holy Spirit. What did Paul do? He took that news right back to the Jews, and they worshiped and marveled at what God was doing. And it can be wonderful to share the good news of what God is doing, not just in our local church, but abroad. By seeing what God is doing beyond my life, beyond me, beyond even my church, beyond my country, I get a view for a big God that loves all people and what he's doing, and it helps me to worship. Gaius had room in his mind for this. He's someone like us, loving others, practicing hospitality. If you don't know how much we do, Bible Fellowship Church of Newark, for the global work of the gospel, you might be marveled to know about it. We have a mission steering team that organizes an effort to support missionaries near and abroad, church planting efforts, missionaries. There is a newsletter that's periodically put out called Tychicus. It's available. You can ask around and get it, either a digital copy or a print copy. And to add to that, there's many ministries that some of you are involved with, helping men and women in various seasons of life, children, Wilmington, University of Delaware. I invite you to come to our congregational meeting. It's Super Bowl Sunday. It's 3 weeks from now, right after church, and hear more about what is happening outside, beyond the walls of this church. It's exciting, and you can find a way to get connected to it. God is so much bigger than we often have the vision for. If you want to be a guy like Gaius, show hospitality to others. Let people into your life. Christian friendship is where we grow. Christian friendship ensures for us that we are not disconnecting, diverting, or being distracted from following Jesus. When church goes right, love comes from God and we love one another. We experience love within one another and then we send others out to share God's love with the world. When church goes right, it is so right. But church does not always go right. So let's talk about Diotrephes. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, another translation here says, he loves to be the leader. He does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stop those who want to and puts them out of the church. John wrote a letter to this leader, and Diotrephes didn't share it. He doesn't welcome John, and he doesn't welcome outside Christians at all. And not even that, when the humble and loving people within his fellowship try to welcome and care for these traveling Christians, he kicks them out of the church. I'm going to challenge us not to have a surface-level participation with this text today. We could look around and say, all right, is anybody kicking very good people out of the church? And we'll say no and pat ourselves on the back and say we got it. Let's not do that today. Because hospitality is not simple. Group dynamics can be tricky. Leadership is not simple. And like we heard 2 weeks ago in the book of Mark, where people start with good intentions can lead to these religious structures and these systems that no longer serve the church. 3 John is actually a pastoral epistle. It's like Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy. This is a book from one church leader to another. And at the surface level, it's like one, maybe a small group leader over here talking to another small group leader here about what to do, how to get loving and humble leaders to replace and kind of reduce the effect of selfish leaders and self-centered leaders. This is relevant, though, not just to church leaders, but to all of us, because leadership and hospitality don't just happen on a Sunday morning. Leadership and hospitality are certainly a part of the Big C church and the big local church, but they also play a role in growth groups and in various ministries. Thinking even smaller than that, there's leadership and hospitality that happens in your family and among your friends. Even deeper than that, we are challenged to lead ourselves and make wise decisions personally and to choose the inner hospitality. What do we let into our lives? Who do we let in? And who do we push away and keep out? There's something for all of us here. So let's think together about this unhealthy, toxic example, Diotrephes. No matter where there's toxic power, selfish power. It's sad and it leads to everybody being tense. It's going to be 7 degrees on Tuesday morning. I don't know. We're warm weather people in my home. And anytime it's below 35 and I'm out in the cold, I just get this tenseness in my shoulders. You know what I mean? That feeling. And if you're also like me, you don't know that feeling just from cold weather. You know it from being in an environment where you have a manager that you feel that way when he's walking behind your cubicle. You're in a situation where you're stuck and you don't know what to do and you're fearful of criticism all the time. There's a tension when people lead like that. Under controlling leadership, the environment is critical and unfruitful. And after a while, people will just say, I'm done with this, and find their way out. Not only does Diotrephes hurt these traveling teachers and his own people, he's hurting himself. To behave like this, to have this view of the world, restricts himself from building real friends, and he's failing to do what a leader should do, which is to raise up other leaders, especially in the church. He thought he had everything figured out, and he seemed to not have ears to hear God's word. It was his way or the highway, and he had somehow convinced himself that he was above criticism and above correction. And so John, the loving elder, is going to come to this church and expose his wicked nonsense. Just like Jesus that we saw last week in Mark, this loving John is going to get a little spicy, a little saucy. It was a fun line from last week. John's coming to town. He's got something to say. Christian love is not always soft. It can be firm. Strong love protects. Church, when done right, is like a garden with fences, keeping darkness and evil out so that good things grow. Church needs those fences, those boundaries, and also humble, loving shepherds and leaders that protect God's people from spiritual darkness. Pastor Andrew's out of town, but he's so humble. We were talking in our staff meeting about the sermon for this week, the content, and I was mentioning my friends, Gaius and Diotrephes, and he started just talking about the way church goes sometimes, how people come and people go. And he said, wait, am I Diotrephes? And I think that's the measure of a humble leader. The ability to question yourself. Say, Lord, like the songs we sang today, is there anything unhealthy in me? Is there anything in me that needs to change, especially as a leader, as I carry the weight of caring for and shepherding people? That's the way I think we prove that we're not like this, that we're like Gaius or Demetrius. Diotrephes didn't seem to be able to humbly ask himself that question. On the other hand, you might be thinking, I don't think this pastor knows what he's talking about. In fact, I think I know 3 John better than he does. Or you might show up to a Bible study every week, ready to aim and take shots at the Bible study leader. I have news for you. The teachers here are pretty careful with God's word. It's something we should be responsible with, to teach it well. And we probably care about teaching God's word more than you're careful about your criticisms. Your problem might not be with other teachers who seem to have power, who seem to be leaders when you want to be a leader. You might be off track, diverted. You might be distracted, and you might be falling away from God himself in your view of things. Diotrephes loves being first and being the leader, loves hearing himself talk, so he criticizes, slanders, and cuts down others. What's the opposite of that? It's the opposite of that kind of treatment of other people. A man who was God came to earth. His name was Jesus Christ. And he looked into the eyes of tax collectors and immoral women and punks like me. And he loved us. And he gave himself for us. And he died for us so that we could become temples of the Holy Spirit and ministers of his gospel. Jesus humbly lifts us up. We become bigger because he leads us. Humble leaders follow Jesus and they lead like Jesus. God gives grace to the humble and he takes ordinary folks and makes their lives a testimony to his glory. The Diotrephes in your life will cause you to tense up and be criticized and criticize others and shut out everyone until you start disconnecting from God and his people. You need to deny and refuse that voice in your life, because God's will for you is that you experience healthy hospitality where you can grow in him and grow in Christian love. You may need to rethink who you push away and who you let in. Do you always go in the direction of comfort? If you refuse discipline and growth, you may be running away from the good shepherd, and you might jump a fence where you shouldn't. In the church, we do expose darkness and reveal nonsense, and sometimes that darkness and nonsense that lives in us. It is a good thing to allow humble and loving leaders into your life to help you. Even worse than letting a Diotrephes have power in your life is this might be you. You might be this way. And we should ask ourselves that today. How is your ministry going, or your growth group that you lead, or your team at work that you lead, or your family where you have a leadership role over your children? What would happen if you asked the people under your leadership, do I make you tense? Do you live in fear of my criticism and judgment? If you lead like this, the organization that you lead will survive with you, but it will die without you. You love to be the leader. You hold all the keys and control everything. That's not how God does ministry. Good ministries multiply, and they multiply when humble leaders allow God to move, and especially when young and growing leaders are encouraged to grow. God doesn't just manage souls like human resources. He teaches, trains, equips, and empowers us to lead ourselves, our families, and our ministries, and his church. And to his glory, when we're faithful and God is gracious, things can multiply. Things can really grow. I marvel at and worship that God that provides growth. And if you lead like Jesus, those under your leadership will marvel at the Jesus that's in you, and they'll follow you. Let's not beat up Diotrephes too bad. I don't think he's a bad person. Maybe he started with really good intentions. There are a lot of bad things you got to keep out. If you sense that the Lord is accusing you today, saying this is you, that doesn't make you a bad person either. You've been misguided, and you need Jesus like the rest of us need him every day. If I could be in John's shoes, exposing Diotrephes' nonsense, seeing him face to face, I'd say a couple things, but then I'd say this. I need you to know that Jesus loves you despite your failure. You're trying to do everything right and control everything and make everything just right. God's got it under control, so you don't have to. He is your leader. He's got it under control. Trust in him. Receive the gospel again and again, and remember that God accepts you at your worst, and he loves you. He truly loves you, so you can be free to lead with love. I hope that helps somebody here today, that God is worthy of worship. I'm so thankful for the gospel. It gives freedom to love and build up others. It gives me boldness to hunt down and expose those who would harm God's church. Toxic people will hurt people wherever they can until they hit a boundary, until they know that there's someone in charge here that won't let their nonsense go any further. This needs to be a place where there's humble, loving leaders and fences to protect us from that kind of darkness. As long as loving leaders lay down our lives for our friends, the church will be a garden where good things grow. When we've been affected by this tension in our lives and this toxicity, it can be difficult to know who you can trust. So John tells us about Demetrius, this other person. Verse 11, "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God." Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Before we get to Demetrius, I'm kind of stepping back for a second here. That verse 11 is a good kind of summary of comparing this humble leader with this toxic, selfish leader. Without knowing it, we imitate the people that are in leadership over us. So it's just so important for leaders in the church to be like Jesus, because we imitate our leaders. So it's important not to imitate what is evil, but to imitate what is good. And to see here, just a word of hope for the Diotrephes, is that if you're doing evil and if you're doing wrong in this world, you just haven't seen God yet. You need to see him closer. You need to see his love. So here towards the end of the letter, John mentions Demetrius, kind of the last person we're going to meet. And the reason for this is practical. Demetrius is a traveling teacher that was likely slandered by Diotrephes, and he was on his way to meet Gaius. And there's this question of, should we receive this person? We get three reasons why he should receive Demetrius. Everyone speaks well of him. John and his church speak well of him, and the truth itself speaks well of Demetrius. A general truth is that good people tend to have good reputations. This helps, especially if you're local here in a place like Delaware where everybody knows one another. In the months-long prayer that I shared with my church from Father's Day until the end of August or the middle of August, three people from my old church came up to me and they said, "I got to tell you, Bible Fellowship, that's a good church." And I heard that and that encouraged me. Hope that encourages you to hear. And then in my first meet and greet over in Conley Hall, as I was being considered the first time, and I remember your faces, and I've met you in these months, but at that point you were strangers. And I was meeting 10 people at a time. Well, we finally sat down to get the meeting started, and a tall man with large waving arm motion says, "Everybody, listen up." And I don't want to tell you what I was thinking in that moment. But he says to everybody, "Hey, I know a good friend of mine that goes to this man's church, and he told me that Pastor John is a good pastor." And so I was relieved you all didn't chase me out of the building, and here I am. But it can help to have a testimony about someone. That's what John's doing about this Demetrius. Oh, where am I here? You know, many people speak well of themselves and toot their own horns. Third John says that doesn't matter so much. What do your friends say about you? What do your elders say about you? That might speak louder, and that's the importance of being a part of a community, to learn that about yourself. What does God's truth say about you? That's the third one, which is a little interesting. I think the question is, do you submit yourself to God's word on a regular basis? And do you let God's word lead you? When we make learning and obeying the Bible a central part of our lives, over time, people begin to see the Bible in us. That's what this means. The word itself testifies to us because we've built our lives upon it. Loving leaders create healthy hospitality where God's word is honored and the church grows in unity. That's what we're about here, and it's worth protecting. The book ends this way. "I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends each by name." When church goes right, we experience deep friendship where God's love abounds. But church doesn't always go right, and people get hurt. We're near our end of our time here, so I'm going to ask for some group participation. If you're watching online, you can raise your hand if you want. I might not see it. I've been hurt by Christian leaders before. I've had a lot of good ones, And man, I've had a couple that set me back. I can think of a female leader in my life and a male leader that hurt me. And I want you to think about it too, in your life in Christian ministries and in the church. If you have ever experienced spiritual hurt from someone in the church, can you just raise your hand high for me? Thank you. It's more than a few hands. And it's sad. God sees that. Sadder still is there are people who've left the church and never come back because of selfish leaders that are not Christ-like. God's grace is for the humble, for those who have been hurt. He gives us strength to forgive, to heal, and the bravery to open ourselves up to trusting others again. And that can be a difficult path to walk, but you can walk it through God's strength and according to his gospel. Our experiences are not to be excuses to keep us from one another or roadblocks that keep us stuck forever. God gives new wisdom and new courage that come from these experiences. And so our calling is not to continue in life as doormats that people walk all over or open doors where anything and everything comes in. We need a strong Christ-like love and biblical wisdom to set boundaries and fences around us so that we become a place where friendship can grow, where we let the right people in. Our hurts and our fears must not keep us from hospitality and friendship. Why? Because it's within friendship that we grow. We need friends to grow and show us Christ's love. And some of these fences we build within ourselves, some of that shepherding and self-leadership. There is joy and growth for those who let humble and loving leaders guide them. We should encourage and pray for these leaders and imitate them. There's a lot in this book of the Bible, and I think there's a way that in the preaching of it, we can hear it and receive it. But I know there's lessons in here that I couldn't hear. I had to experience them with friends, with mentors. And that's my hope for you all as well. All right, let's recap some lessons from today. And then we'll try to end really practically. And I don't see any snow yet. Hospitality builds up Christ followers and unity in the church globally. Let's be aware of what God's doing all over the place. Selfish leaders should have decreased influence. They need to respond to the gospel and live by it. God's word is our ultimate authority that we submit to. And any church will do okay as long as those who make decisions and have leadership live according to his word humbly. Our hurts and fears must not keep us from fellowship and hospitality because Christianity at its core is people that love each other like family in Christian friendship. There's a lot here in the small, powerful book, so what? There are many ways to step towards Christian friendship, to get a humble, loving leader in your life. You can hear about them at the Connection Corner. There's many things to learn about. Talk to somebody. Join a Bible study. There's many different ways, but today I want to talk about growth groups specifically because they're for everybody. You don't have to be musically talented. You don't have to be a Bible expert. I give a guideline here of 5 to 15 people. These are rough numbers. Sometimes if you have a group of 3 people, you can get so tight and so familiar that that's a group, that the group dynamic really changes, and you kind of can't invite somebody in. That's a special friendship you have. And once a group gets bigger to 20 people or so, just the way things go, the bigger personalities take over the group, you can kind of get lost and feel like you're attending an event instead of being a part of something. You want to keep it at a number where it feels like family. A growth group is a place where you can make a real difference in the church. Sunday morning worship is not an appropriate time for each and every one of you to serve using your spiritual gifts or care for one another. It's a time where we worship God and learn the word. But in a growth group, man, you can care for people. You can make people feel loved. I've experienced this myself, and I know many of you have as well. And there's things in the Christian life that you will experience and learn that you just won't unless you spend a couple years being loved by the same people. I want you to save the date for February 22nd. We're going to get together for a night where we get growth groups together if they can participate and help people get connected to them. In the meantime, if you are looking for a group, you can always fill out a connect card or contact the church, and we will do our best to get you into one or help you start one. Growth group leaders, I'll be reaching out to you in February. I want us to stay connected to one another. I want to make sure your group thrives and make sure that we're resourced as well as a church. Until then, I give you permission to get a little saucy if you need to. Love your people, protect your people so that your group is a place where they grow. God's kingdom can come in power if we love one another. I want you to consider doing that in a growth group in the near future. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Pray that it would seed itself deep in our hearts. We pray that as we read 3 John in our own study, that you would continue to reveal to us what you were doing at that time with these people so we can see how it applies to today. God, I just personally want to give you thanks, Lord, for how you have sent humble and loving leaders into my life, like Larry in my young adult years, John in my calling to ministry, and Andrew, who's been a good shepherd and a guide to me in these last couple months. God, we lift up and give thanks for these humble and Christ-like leaders. They don't get the credit they deserve, but they have kept us on the straight and narrow path of walking with you, and we give you thanks for them, Lord. God, we thank you for the wise elders in this church that protect us with their love. We thank you for the many ministries and Bible studies and the growth groups at this church. Let them always be gardens that are well-fenced, that are well-led, where the people that come to you grow. God, for anybody here who feels like there's a light shining on them because they are critical, they do push others away, and man, they do really just love to be first. God, show them your love and how you put yourself last for them. May your example and your love and the power of the Holy Spirit soften them so that they become a leader like Christ, that they bear much fruit, God. For anybody that's been hurt in church, Lord, help us to heal. Help us to say yes to fellowship and say yes to friendship, because it's there that we can grow. We don't want to run from you and being diverted or distracted or disconnected, Lord. We want to abide in you. Keep us close, Lord, and give us the strength through your love that we would love one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and worship in Christ alone.